I will not hesitate to risk my life to save the princess. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, in honor of International Women's Day, I am here to review Mulan Legend, which will definitely not be the last time I talk about a movie about Mulan. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And yes, this past Sunday was International Women's Day. Happy International Women's Day to all you hard-working, kick-ass women and women-identifying people out there. Thank you for sharing your art and creativity with us. And what better way to celebrate International Women's Day than to talk about a movie that dives into the story of one of the most kick-ass women in Chinese folklore, and that is Hua Mulan. As a former child and stay-at-home parent to a current child, I know that it is quite normal at even the earliest stages of life to get obsessed with a specific IP or maybe a specific character. I grew up on the Batman the Animated Series. That was one of my favorite cartoons when I was a little kid. I've talked a lot about Samurai Jack here on the show before. Producer Cooper is no stranger to this as well. Spidey has been one of his favorite, if not his absolute favorite superhero at this very young age. Spidey and His Amazing Friends is one of his favorite shows, alongside Paw Patrol. K-Pop Demon Hunter seems to be his favorite movie. Mine was Space Jam. Definitely continuing to date myself here, but also making everyone go, heck yeah, he's got good taste. We all get like hooked on a certain thing when we are little kids. And for some people, as they continue to age, one thing that kind of creeps into the one intrusive thought that often creeps into our minds is this idea of, I wish they would reboot my favorite IP, but this idea of, man, it would be really cool if my favorite IP from my childhood was aged up to match where I'm at now. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans got a taste of this a couple years ago with The Last Ronin, kind of taking this childhood IP that they had grown up on and then putting it into a very mature context for that original audience. Mighty Morphin Power Ranger fans are still kind of waiting for that day to happen, though I've heard some of the is it Boom? I think Boom Studios does their comic, or maybe it's IDW, one of the two, does Mighty Morphin Power Ranger series. And I've heard some of the comics have kind of scratched that itch a little bit, but Mighty Morphin Power Ranger fans are still kind of waiting for that day when they get like the aged up, mature version of the show for them. And I think I can speak on behalf of all millennials, especially those late age millennials like myself, in saying that, where in the world is my TVMA version of Cyber Chase? I've waited too long for this. Where is my mature Cyber Chase spinoff series? And speaking of late age millennials, I don't know if that's actually a term, but those of us who kind of showed up near the tail end of the millennial era, a lot of us grew up on and were absolutely obsessed with 1998's Mulan, the Disney animated film that not only is one of the greatest Disney animated films, it's also one of the three greatest Disney animated film soundtracks as well, alongside Hercules and Tarzan. And no, I will not be taking questions. Those are the three correct answers. And the movie did really well for Disney as well. It spawned a sequel. Sometimes it's often forgotten, but there in the early 2000s, when Disney was working hard trying to buy Pixar, they were saving money by making direct-to-DVD sequels and prequels for a lot of their already established IPs. Return to Neverland is still my favorite one from that era, but there's a couple other forgotten gems from that time period. There's a lot of early 2000s Disney that is completely forgotten. We all love Lilo and Stitch, but come on, Treasure Planet, great movie. And of course, with this, with Mulan being one of the greatest Disney animated films, naturally, as Disney has gotten this crazy idea that now everything needs a live action remake, which is like one for 98 when it comes to the, they're like batting 200 when it comes to this project that they're doing. Seriously, like the only one that immediately jumps to mind is Beauty and the Beast as like a good live action remake. But anyway, I'm sure there's got to be another one. Maybe not. I don't know. But either way, in the forgotten year, 2020, Mulan got a live action remake. And it was early on in 2020. You remember the spring of 2020? Neither do I. I choose not to. I was working in retail at the time. So I was a frontline worker. Y'all, I was getting combat pay stocking the shelves. Anyway, but it was supposed to come out in the spring of 2020, and I believe it was one of the few times where Disney Plus actually made it so that way you could rent the movie, because obviously we were done with movie theaters by that point. We had not come up with a way to do the whole movie theater thing at that point, so it was available to rent on Disney Plus, and miraculously, Disney was able to make a movie with Donnie Yen, Jet Li, and Jason Scott Lee, and it still ended up being meh. And I'll reserve the rest of my comments about that movie, the live action remake, for a later day, because like I said, I'll probably come back around to Mulan at a different point. But if the hope was, oh man, I grew up on this animated film, I loved the animated Mulan movie, now they're going to make this awesome live action, yeah, not so much. Not so much when it comes to the 2020 Mulan, or let me say it this way, the early 2020 Mulan film. More on that in a second. The good news is, though, if you are somebody who loved Mulan as a kid and you just really would like to see an aged up, more mature to your modern adult tastes, there are options. There's actually a lot of options. There's been a lot of movies made about Mulan, dating as far back as like the silent era of films. What was interesting is that as I was looking at lists of movies about Mulan, there were several different lists out there, and there was some overlap. Obviously, everybody had that 98 animated film and the 2020 live action remake, but every list was different. There were different movies on each list. There is kind of hard to tell. There may be like 20 movies at least about the story of Mulan. Which takes me now to Mulan Legend. So, if you have been hoping to see like an aged up, kind of more mature, more grown up Mulan film, that's not Mulan Legend. Apparently, though, there is an option. From what I can tell from doing research, is that in 2009, there was a Mulan film called like The Sword Princess or something like that. Hold on, let me check this. Okay, I'm glad I looked that up, because that title wasn't even close to being right. Mulan Rise of a Warrior. That seems to be the one that if you have been waiting for, like, the more aged up, mature Mulan story, that's the one to go watch. Not this one. This one was fine. Mulan Legend was fine. Would I watch it again? I think so. It wasn't like an unwatchable movie, but I definitely wouldn't own a copy of it. I don't feel the need to go out of my way to purchase a copy of Mulan Legend that came out in 2020, the late summer. So there was part of me that was like, this movie feels kind of low budget. Like really early on, as I was watching Mulan Legend, I was like, this movie looks like something that would play on Sci-Fi Channel. Like it had that vibe. And if you're a nerd like me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It had that kind of vibe. It had a lot of different vibes going throughout this movie, but that was like the first and foremost of like, this movie should be on the Sci-Fi Channel. And knowing that this came out in late summer 2020 when the Disney live action one came out in spring 2020 kind of makes me wonder if this was a rush job to try and capitalize off of the potential popularity that was going to come from the live action Disney Mulan film, because there was just aspects of this movie that felt very, very low budget. Mulan Legend felt so low budget that there was this, I was trying to find out if this was a TV movie, because that was the other kind of vibe. I guess that kind of goes with the Sci-Fi Channel thing, is that it felt very like TV movie. It almost, the set pieces and the costumes and the, what am I looking for? Just kind of like, the special effects, the fight choreography, the all of that, it was good, but it was almost like watching an extra long episode of Doctor Who. Like, it was that kind of quality, which is good, but not necessarily like movie, cinematic level, you know? It sounds like I'm being like pretentious and snooty about this. I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to like kind of give you like a tone for this film. It was like watching the movie was something you would watch on Sci-Fi Channel, but it also had a lot of the same like financial investment as an episode of Doctor Who. So it felt familiar, but it was also kind of like, oh, this doesn't seem like a high budget film. But I really couldn't find a lot of information out there about this movie, which is crazy because it's on Peacock. It wasn't like I went to the most, you know, it wasn't like it was on Hiya or some kind of like really out there streaming service that no one has ever heard of but me for some reason. It wasn't Tubi. It wasn't Roku. It's Peacock. It's, you know, NBC, Universal, Comcast, PepsiCo, 7-Eleven, whoever else owns that company. It's like a major streaming platform that this movie is on, but I really couldn't find much. The IMDb page, the Rotten Tomatoes page, doesn't really have a lot of information about this movie that's been out for 6 years already. When I went to Letterboxd to review the film, it was on there. I have yet to run across something so niche that it's not on Letterboxd. Just about everything has shown up on Letterboxd at this point, and that is going to be true for a future episode here on a couple of future episodes on the show. I was like testing Letterboxd a little bit, and surely, shockingly, a couple of films that I want to review here in the next couple months are on there. But one thing that caught my attention about Mulan Legend is that this movie, that again isn't that old, is probably the least reviewed film that I have covered so far here on the show. It had, well, let me put it this way. A Karate Christmas Miracle had more reviews than Mulan Legend. Not necessarily better, but more. Ninja Vengeance had more individual reviews than Mulan Legend. Edge of Fury had more reviews than Mulan Legend. Those three movies are probably the most niche films, most obscure films that I have pulled out to review for you all so far. And they all had more reviews than this movie that's only 6 years old. There's just not a lot of information out there. And even though it's on a major streaming platform, there doesn't really seem to be a lot of people watching and talking about this movie. And it's not for like lack of, I don't want to say lack of trying, but like the cast, Zhang Dong, she plays our lead, Hua Mulan, and I did not recognize her, but she has a lot of credits to her name on IMDb. It's not like this is a cast of nobodies who are in this movie, but it was just odd of like, am I like ahead of the curve a little bit in reviewing this film, and then next thing you know, everybody's going to be talking about this movie? That would be crazy if that happened. But there's just like not a lot of info out there. I was just trying to find a movie to watch for International Women's Day, And here was a Mulan film I had not seen, and I'm one of those people who have been wanting a more mature Mulan film, because the spring 2020 live action film let me down, so let me watch the late summer 2020. And it also, I don't want to say it let me down, but it definitely just wasn't what I was expecting. I am not familiar with the classic folk story, folk tale of Mulan, so I don't know if this is more accurate or what, but there is definitely different. The story is definitely different, mainly because it's not about Mulan concealing her gender so that way she can like represent her father in the military. It's not that at all. This movie picks up presumably after the fact, where everyone knows she's a woman. She still kind of like conceals it. It's not like something she flaunts, but like as new characters show up, they're like, wait, you're a woman? And everyone else is like, yeah, duh, my general is a woman. Get over it. But yeah, she's a general in the army at this point. And again, kind of taking cues from other, just using references from other things. Basically, she creates her own suicide squad in this movie. Her and her army's job was to protect the princess, and they did not do that. They tried. They did try to do that, but the princess ends up getting captured. They're going to get killed, but then the emperor from the other kingdom is like, okay, here's the, you know, arrangement that I'll make in order to bargain to get the princess back. And the guy's like, we're not doing that, Mulan. Get your boys together and go rescue the princess. And she puts together, like I said, kind of this, like, along with her main soldiers, they go and they get, like, an assassin out of prison who's very familiar with this kingdom. They find, like, an underground society similar to the one Dennis Leary leads in Demolition Man. Took me a minute. But, yeah, it's similar to the underground society that Dennis Leary leads in Demolition Man. She like recruits some soldiers from this underground community to go rescue the princess. And that's the movie. She and her team go to rescue the princess. They do that, but basically everybody but Mulan dies in the process of rescuing the princess. I probably should have put a spoiler alert there. Sorry. spoiler alert. Now go back and listen to the last 45 seconds. that's not how that works, is it? But yeah, basically everyone dies, except there's this weird clip right at the end where after everyone has died but Mulan, now everybody and also Mulan are sitting on a horse talking about how great of soldiers they are, and they ride off into the sunset together. So I don't know if it's like Mulan kind of like chases after them from the back. So I don't know if it's like everyone else is dead and now Mulan is coming to join them, or maybe I just wasn't paying close enough attention and this was like a flashback from something that they didn't show prior to them going off on their adventure. I don't think so, because basically everybody says like their final line from when they die kind of thing. So it kind of got a little artsy there at the end. I mean, the whole thing has a level of artsiness to it because it is that Chinese fantasy style film. I'm sure there's actually a name for it, and I should have looked it up. Wuxia. I thought that's what it was. It's a martial arts and fantasy. It's a for all you super nerds out there, it's a low genre of fantasy. So not as much large bombastic world building, but very simple. And you can tell that you could tell it's fantasy, I should say. You could tell it's fantasy by the fact that it's a lot of wire work in this movie, which I've talked about wire work before. And it's not my favorite. It's not the worst thing in the world either. I know wire work for some people, especially if you're more of a casual fan, is kind of like, kind of makes it look goofy. I think done well, it actually kind of helps build the world out. With this one, there were some moments where I was like, oh, this just kind of looks a little silly. This just, you know, of all things, Rigor Mortis, I think, is a great example of a movie that uses wire work like really well in a way that kind of makes it feel a little bit bigger, a little bit more bombastic. This is more of an example of like there were moments where it was really cool, and there were also moments where, just for me through my Western lens, having been being somebody who hasn't spent a lot of time with this style, it does look a little silly at points. But so, like, as you can tell, you know, there's a lot of different like styles and vibes going throughout it. It feels like a movie that would be on Sci-Fi Channel. It kind of looks like a Doctor Who episode. It's got this Wuxia wirework style fighting. It's fine. It's not offensive. It's not like, oh my gosh, I'm pulling my teeth out trying to, it's like watching paint dry. You know, it's nothing like that. It was just like, I think you could have, unless this is, like I said, I'm not super familiar yet, not yet at least, with the like actual legend of Mulan. That will also be something that happens at some point here on the show. But just kind of watching this, unless this is actually part of the legend and I just don't know it, I feel like you could have made this about any woman being the general of a group of soldiers in China. Like, making it about Mulan obviously connects it to like this greater almost pantheon of films and stories about this iconic character. But there was unless it is part of the actual legend, I felt like it could have just been, you could have made it about anybody. But making it about Mulan helped, because obviously that motivated me to click on it. And the preview made it look really good. Combat wise, like I said, there is wire work in the movie. There's also these guys, and this actually kind of reminded me of like The Mummy for some reason, but there's these like soldiers from the villains group that like tunnel through the sand underneath and then spring out to attack people. Super cool visual. But honestly, so it's a lot of sword fighting that takes place in this movie. And again, kind of going back to the whole, like, what was the budget and time spent on this movie? The fight choreography is good. The execution is kind of like, oh, that's like stage play. Like, I can clearly tell that you're stabbing around that person. And a lot of the like spitting blood out kind of thing to show that characters are dying. But the best, there is one really cool like B story arc kind of playing throughout this, especially during the combat, is because it's this, that both armies have like a Legolas level archer on both sides, and they are just going back and forth at each other the entire movie. It's kind of like that first half of American Sniper when he's going up against like the sniper from Afghanistan, I think it is. I can't remember. And it's like this like final shootout for him to like win the day. It was similar here with these two archers just kind of going back and forth, one-upping each other. Neither one of them can kill each other. They're preventing the other from like killing other people. And it is a lot like Legolas in Lord of the Rings, of just like shooting multiple arrows, taking arrows and stabbing them, doing these like weird sliding moves that no archer has probably ever really done before to shoot arrows. It's all of that was really good. Not grounded, but still more grounded than some of the wire work combat in this movie, for me at least. Again, this could just be a white Western dude just totally dunking on a style that he's just not familiar with and should educate himself more on. Right, women? White, right? The white guy should educate himself more. That's the real lesson here, folks. Wheel of morality, turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn. If you know what that is from, congratulations, and how is your back pain? Thank you for listening to today's episode. This was fun. And once again, happy International Women's Day. More so to the women, but guys, celebrate women. Do it. Do it. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcast. Pass this episode along to a friend, someone who's wants more Mulan content in their life because they too were disappointed by the spring 2020 live action film. Tell them, hey, there's a not as disappointing but still not great late summer 2020 Mulan film you can check out if you want to. Pass this episode along to a friend. Please check out the other great shows here on the Inazao Podcast Network, like Systematic Theology, Geekology, Systematic Geekology, Why I Don't Like, and my sister show, My Seminary Life. And yeah, check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. That's it. I feel like I'm forgetting. Oh, duh, the socials. You can follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, where you can get a review of the movie before the episode comes out. Thanks again for listening. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I have delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time. And yes, folks, the last episode ended with it cutting to static, and that was supposed to be a reference to how Monty Python and the Holy Grail ends, just kind of like weirdly and abruptly. Hopefully that joke landed. If not, I'll try again another time with a better joke.